There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us. Hope you had a happy and safe 4th of July weekend. Hope that you're all ready and rested. And thanks for staying up late with us here on another Sunday night. And for those of you that are tuning in during the archived shows, remember when we ask for questions, don't email them in. We get those all the time, 3-4 days after the show's over. Can you ask your guest? Well, when you're listening to the archive shows, we're not live, so we can't take your questions. So please avoid asking them. We are going to have a good show tonight. We're going to be talking about Rolling Hills Sanitarium with Lori Carlson and hear this rich history of this haunted location and find out what you can do and what others can do to help save this paranormal spot from being torn down. So we'll be talking about that. In our second hour, we've got Jeff Dwyer, who's going to be with us. And Jeff is a doctor, a cardiologist. He's also written 3 books and is working on a couple more. We're going to be talking to him tonight about the ghosts of California, so you're going to want to stick around for that. I do want to make a quick mention, since we are going to be in California, July 20th and the 21st at Santa Paula, California, which I guess is just an hour. Is that what they said, Tim? About an hour outside of Los Angeles?
Something like that.
Okay, so we're only an hour out of Los Angeles, and we're going to be doing a live event. We had Heather Woodward, who was running the event, on with us last week. And it's going to be a hell of a lineup. We got Chris Fleming from the TV show Dead Famous, The Psychic Sensitive. You've got Richard Sennett, the author and authority on ghosts, who will be there. You've got Derek Bartlett, who's the former of Capers, C-A-I-P-R-S. And it is one of the largest and most well-respected paranormal communities in New England. Also, Tom Durant from Capers. Chad Saunders will be there. Southern California Society for Paranormal Research will be there. Guy Jackson will be there. I'm going to be out there. Bill Murphy is going to be out there. Our good friend Sonic, Mr. Patrick Burns, will be out there. Also, Linda Salvin will be out there, and she is a psychic. So, Patrick Burns, again, from Haunting Evidence. And if you don't know, it is on Wednesday nights now. I think it's 10 o'clock Eastern time on the Court TV channel, so make sure you check it out. It's been a pretty amazing season so far.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, decent show. So make sure that you tune in, check that out. There's going to be some really exciting stuff going on. As a matter of fact, I believe we're going to be doing a talk at Santa Paula. It's going to be Chris Fleming, myself, and Patrick Burns. It'll be kind of like a live version of Darkness on the Edge of Town, sans my good friend and producer Tim Dennis, who will be attending the marriage of his lovely little sister, Stephanie.
Aw.
Step on me.
Stephanie.
So he will not be there, but I will. So please come on out and stop by. We're going to have some free T-shirts to give away. And just look forward to hanging out with you. Also wanted to make a mention, tickets are getting very limited right now for Waverly Hills, the event that we're going to be doing next month in August. And this is an amazing event. Would you take into account to investigate Waverly Hills is usually $100 a night for the allotted time that we're going to be there. We're going to be there for 2 nights. You're also going to get speakers all day long. We've got Chris Fleming, Patrick Burns, John Zaffis. You've also got the Queen of Paranormal, Miss Rosemary Ellen Guiley, one of the most sought-after and well-respected authors in the United States today regarding the paranormal. She'll be there doing a talk. We've also added to the list Miss Patty Starr, who you heard a few weeks ago, who is well-known, especially out south down there, and is going to come share her wealth of knowledge of Waverly and the ghost hunts with us as well. We've got the lovely Tiffany Johnson and the even more lovely Chip Coffee that will be joining us there to do readings. You get this entire event for just $360. That's $360 gets you in for all of the talks and the investigation at Waverly Hills for two nights. You get two nights of investigating. There'll be only 100 people there. We'll be breaking up into small groups of only 20 people per floor, working with each one of the different ghost hunters. It rotates every hour so that way you get a chance to move through every one of the ghost hunters and get to work with everybody there. So I hope that you'll join us. Tickets are selling fast. You can check it out in all of our events at darknessevents.com. Again, that's darknessevents.com. Join us. You'll be happy you did. We're going to go now to our first guest of the evening. And, you know, Darkness Radio, not that I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. Pat. But we like to try to give back to the paranormal community that's been so good to us. At Eastern State Penitentiary, we did an amazing auction there. Amazing because of the people that showed up and supported the auction. We raised $8,880 for the Eastern State Penitentiary Fund, and that's going to go a long way to help them in the restoration of Eastern State Penitentiary. So when we were there, we were told of an amazing story of Rolling Hills Sanitarium, which has been on the precipice of my mind for a long time. We've wanted to get out there. Love Lori. She's just saw her, I think it was like a week or so ago, they reran the episode when Taps was out there at Rolling Hills. And they are going through some challenges at Rolling Hills, and there's a real chance that this could be lost and torn down. So we're going to talk to Lori about the rich history of Rolling Hills Sanitarium. We're going to talk to her about what people can do to help save this landmark. And to let you know, Darkness Radio Events, along with Taps, is working on a live event that we're going to try to get out and get there one still this year to do a live event, and we'll also be doing a charity auction to help raise money for Rolling Hills as well. So please keep a look at darknessevents.com for all that updated information. But now, if you will please join me in a golf clap round of applause for our first guest, Miss Lori Carlson. Good evening, Lori.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks a lot for joining us here tonight. I appreciate you coming aboard.
I appreciate you asking me.
Now, you know, your story is amazing. I love the letter. I had to trim it down a little bit to talk about you and everything that we're here to post up on the board. But I was kind of amazed to realize up until 2002, you really weren't into the paranormal. You'd never really seen or heard or experienced anything with a ghost.
Nothing whatsoever.
So what drew you to Rolling Hills?
I don't know. I actually first came here because a friend of mine had told me it was a great place to sell my crafts, and that's what I first came here for. But once I was here,
nothing sells crafts like haunted sanitariums.
Yeah, I mean, I was just making little, you know, wooden objects for, you know, to decorate your house with.
Sure.
And it just went from that to what we're doing now, and it's a just complete turnaround from where I was at 5 years ago. That's definitely for sure.
So you bought this giant building so that you could turn it into like a big antique and craft store?
Actually, it already was.
Oh, okay.
I was one of the vendors there. I first came there and was one of the vendors and found out it was for sale. We were looking to move, and I had quit my accounting business and was just doing the crafts alone. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mother, and this was perfect for that. That was my reason for getting it.
Tim wants to be a stay-at-home mother, too.
I do.
So you were already a vendor. How long were you a vendor before you decided to purchase Rolling Hills?
About 2 weeks.
Okay. So had you experienced anything strange in that 2 week period before you purchased it? Nothing.
Nope,
Had people been whispering about it and telling you that it had purportedly been haunted before?
No, actually, that's the weird part. We made the announcement about a week or so before the closing to the other vendors, and one of the other vendors who was in her 70s. Afterwards, had, you know, said congratulations to me, and then she said, "Do you know this place is haunted?" And I kind of just smiled at her and kind of thought she was, I don't know.
Loony, right, yeah. I understand. That's everybody's first initial thought.
Her.
Sure.
Right. I didn't believe her. I'll be honest, I didn't. And so I just smiled, and I said, "Oh, okay," you know, and I don't know, appeased her. And then we went through with the closing, and then I started spending time in the building, moved my computers into there in my office, and started logging in inventory, and was by myself when I was doing that, and then I started hearing things. It wasn't until after I bought the place, hearing things, seeing things, and it just kind of just skyrocketed.
How long would you say, once you bought it, how long until the first events started to happen that caught your interest? I mean, you know, I'm sure at first there's a couple times we all, when we're sitting alone at home or in our office at work late at night and we hear something, we all do that kind of puppy dog tilt of the head and look off to the distance to see if we heard something for real. When did you really start to realize, holy crap, maybe there's something to this?
The first night I heard door slamming upstairs, mm-hmm. and my first thought was that someone broke in.
Oh, okay.
And I got a little scared at that. Here I am alone in this big building, and someone broke in. And I left quickly. But it kept happening, and I had set the burglar alarm, and it never went off after that. So I thought, okay, I'm just hearing things. It was probably about 2 weeks till I really started being sure that something weird was going on, that it wasn't really like kids breaking in and things like that.
Wow.
So about 2 weeks.
So it was about 2 weeks, and that was going on. But now, as a woman, and I don't mean this in any sexist kind of way, you're in this building by yourself, and you start hearing doors slam. Are you thinking, maybe I should sell this place? I mean, is this, or did it just not, were you not frightened of it?
Actually, my first thought was I was going to grab a hold of my husband and get him to put new locks on and stuff. Because, here I'm, I just bought this brand new building. I have no idea who the previous owner gave keys to. We haven't really checked the place out and seen where the weaknesses were then. You know, it was just all new. And my first thought was, Jeff is going to come in here with me, and we're going to go over this place with a fine-tooth comb, and nobody's going to be able to get in. And, and then I left so that I'd be safe, but I kept coming back.
Sure.
I had work to do.
Well, I understand that. So did you start to do actual investigations? Was there something that keyed you in to make you decide that you're going to start to look into the hauntings of this a little bit more?
Well, I went 2 years. I think that's a pretty long time, actually, but I dealt with it.
Sounds like an ex-smoker. I went 2 years before I had my first paranormal experience again.
I wish I was an ex-smoker. I went 2 years before I actually joined an investigation with a local paranormal group. I actually didn't know that there were such things as paranormal groups that you can join. I thought, I don't know, I just never gave it much thought before, and when I found out that there was, I joined, and then I joined them on an investigation, but my thought of why I was joining them was to learn more so that I can apply what I learned to my own building and figure out what's going on. But when after the investigation, we stopped and had coffee and, questioned the new person, and they found out I owned Rolling Hills, which wasn't called Rolling Hills at the time, but they were, we've been trying to get in there, and the owner said no, and that was the previous owners. They didn't want anything to do with paranormal groups. When I approached the previous owners soon after I bought the place, she had told me, we don't talk about the ghosts. It'll scare away the shoppers. So I dropped it, and I followed their lead. And so I didn't talk about it, except for really close friends. And so here I'm, finding out that there's this group that wants to investigate, and it didn't cost anything, so I was very interested. I let them come in. They did quite a few investigations. I was amazed at the evidence and their whole process in it. And next thing you know, they actually talked me into opening it up to the public because there was no other place around that did that, and there was definitely an interest there, and one thing led to another. We ended up forming the Rolling Hills Ghost Hunting Society out of that group and a couple other groups and members of different groups, and now formed our own, and they're based right here in the building.
Wow. Well, see, boy, this is when you throw yourself into something, you really throw yourself into it. She can't just be a vendor. She's got to own the building. She can't just investigate. She's got to start her own group and start it up there. See, now that's real commitment to the cause now, Lori. Good job.
It is, but I ended up falling in love with the field. I just got into it. And plus, I live here, so I deal with this every single day. I live and breathe it, and I can't get away from it like a lot of investigators could. They can back off. They can go home. Well, some of them live in haunted places themselves, but a lot of them can just go home, and they have their ghost hunting investigating time, and then they have their, being with the family time. But the problem is, even being with my family, we still have to deal with living here. So I get obsessed. But
well, how did you, once you started to see more or have more experiences happen, How did you react the first time you actually physically saw something?
I screamed.
And how clear
actually,
was it?
Every time I see something, I actually get it. There's a noise that comes out, and my heart stops. How clear?
Sounds like Tim after a bowl of chili. A noise comes out, and his heart stops. Mine does, too, for that fact. So, the first thing you saw, was it a shadowy, darting figure?
The first one I ever saw was not a shadowy figure. It was a little girl, and she was very clear. She was skipping down the hall of the East Wing. It's a very, very long hallway. And I thought I had heard a giggle, so I got up out of my office and looked down the hallway, and I saw her. Now, I can see through her, but I can see her dress was blue. She had dark brown curly hair, very long, and she was skipping away from me.
Did she seem to know you were there, Lori?
That time.
Okay. Oh, but you've interacted with her again?
Yeah. There's a staircase right between where my office was and the long east wing where I had seen her going up to the other floors. And another time I heard a little girl, it sounded like a little girl, singing, and I ran out of my office again and looked, and she was right there on the staircase that leads up to the second floor. And she was facing me and was walking up the stairs backwards and had one of her fingers in her mouth very shyly. She had stopped singing and just, it was almost like, oh, you heard me. Oh, I got caught, you know. And she backed up the stairs and then she just faded.
Did she seem afraid of you, Lori?
A little bit, but not really scared, but maybe leery.
How old would you say this little girl is?
About 7 or 8.
Now, here's something I'm curious about. Now, have you done research? Have you been able to find a little girl that died there that matches this description?
There's hundreds of kids that die here that match this description, but I...
Don't give me the runaround, Lori Carlson.
No.
Did you find this one?
I'm serious. No, unfortunately, there's hundreds that match her description as far as her age and her being a girl. So finding out which one she is would pretty much be impossible at this point because the records don't go that deeply into describing what they looked like or what clothing they happened to have worn maybe when they died.
It's
very, very hard to find information.
Sure. Have you had a conversation with this little girl ever?
No, I haven't. But I did have some psychics through, and they have, and they say her name is Bethany, and that's 3 or 4 different psychics, definitely 3, that had definitely told me her name was Bethany. And the same thing with Michael. That's another little boy I see. He's got a red striped shirt on, and he likes to play with the boats, the nautical crafts. There's like little wooden boats in one of the craft stores, and he likes to play with those. And I've seen him before, too, and they tell me his name is Michael. So that's what I call them when I see him. But
now,
and I've seen the adults, too, and now I've got to see a lot of the shadow people.
Well, why don't we do this? We're going to take our first break of the evening.
Okay.
And when we come back, I want to get into the history of Rolling Hills so you could tell us, you know, what it was before and you know, how you... You know, how you've continued to investigate it and any of the stuff that you can share with us from that going forward. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We got a great turnout in the chat room. Please join us if you'd like. If you're listening live, all you need to do when you go into the Darkness Radio boards, click on darknessradio.com, the listen tab, and then there's a link to go right into the live chat. You click it, sign in, and they'll tell you how to put your name on there, and you can chat and be along with us for the ride. Thank you for tuning into the show. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Are UFOs real? Does Bigfoot exist? Was Emily Rose really possessed? Who is the next American Idol?
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, but she moves! She moves!
Thank
I'm
you.
Wasted by the way
Thank
she...
you.
We try to answer these questions and more each week on The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. Or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
They're hardly beautiful and barely average. In fact, when they were both born, the doctor slapped their moms instead of them.
I will slap you so hard you end up in the Ming Dynasty.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Hey, good evening and welcome back. Thanks for joining us here in the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I want to make a quick mention again about the Santa Paula Convention happening on July 20th and 21st. Tickets are still available, and if you contact them by going to woodwardpsychic.com, that's WOODWARDPSYCHIC.com, woodwardpsychic.com, email them there and tell Heather that you are either part of an active paranormal group and give her the name of the paranormal group and the information. She will let you in for half price. If you're not part of a group, make sure to tell them that you heard live on Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. You'll also get in for the $62.50. You got that deal going through the 15th of July, so take advantage of it while you can. Only $62.50, which is half off the cost of the actual event. So we'll hope that you'll join us out there for it. It's going to be a great time. We're going to be out there ghost hunting. We're going to hear some fascinating speakers, learn a little bit more about the paranormal, and hopefully get a chance to shake hands and say hi to a bunch of you. Plus, I have free t-shirts.
Ah!
Huh? Free t-shirts. We're going to go back to our show now, though, as we were going before the top of the hour. We're talking to Lori Carlson, who is the owner of the Haunted Rolling Hills in upstate New York. She moved in there in 2002 and purchased the building and the business, only to find out that it was haunted after she purchased it. And as we just talked about, her first couple of ghost experiences she saw were little children and a little boy and a little girl. That she's had contact with, it sounds like, on numerous occasions. She's seen some adults. We're going to go back into talking to Lori. Lori, thanks again for joining us here.
Thank you for having me.
Getting some questions from the people in the chat room, too, so we'll make sure to get to those as we go along. Okay. But I'm curious. Now, let's start at the beginning. How old is the building? What was it built for? And what can you tell us about it?
Well, that's kind of a hard question to ask because there's a lot of, or to answer, because there's a lot of different buildings on the premises, they're all different ages. To start from the beginning, the oldest that's still standing was built in the late 1790s, and it happens to be a barn. It was first settled as a carriage stop, a tavern, an inn for travelers between two cities here. We don't really know much about that time period, but in 1827, they started putting the poor people here. The county had bought it. They had bought the tavern, and they started putting the poor people here and started adding to the buildings. So we have a lot of buildings on the premises that are from the 1830s, 1840s. The large brick building, the main part of the building, the west wing, was built in 1938. It was the new infirmary. And the last building to be built here was in 1958, and that's the new east wing, and it was for the nursing home, so they can fit more people at the site. So it kind of varies, but they used the place for the poorhouse in the 1800s. There was the insane were kept here, orphans, older people, anybody who couldn't take care of themselves, and they were usually in the early part of the 1800s all housed together. There would be 5 beds and 12 people. Another room would have 6 beds and have 18 people.
Wow.
Pregnant women would be sleeping right alongside kids with measles. They had an investigation from the state, and subsequent to that, they changed a lot of the laws. So it was a little better in the later 1800s. But it stayed that way. Tuberculosis, turn of the century, broke out really bad. They had one of the buildings that was used strictly as a ward. They were quarantined for the TB patients, a lot of deaths in that area.
That's what Momo just asked on our boards here on there. She wanted to know if a lot of people from the tavern died from TB.
I don't have any information on that at all, but I think it's the wrong time period.
Okay.
So I would think probably no.
Okay.
That building's gone, and in its place is the ramp area of the East Wing, and that's an extremely high level of activity in that area. And I think it's basically from the building that used to be there. We've even saw an old nurse walking upstairs that are no longer there to a floor above the highest floor in that wing. And there was a floor that was above that.
So that is definitely a residual haunting then,
huh? Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. Well, actually, there's residual, and then there's active hauntings, because we've even had people that have seen not just the nurse walking up and down the stairs, but she'd turn around and she'd look and interact with the people. So there's a little bit of both there, and I'm thinking that there's a lot of both in the entire facility, because some of the people I see are just going about their jobs, and they're puttering and working in the maintenance areas, and then others are actively whispering in your ears or on your tapes for EVPs. There's people that are tugging on your hair. Ponytails are popular. tugging on your ears, you know, things like that, which is not a residual, not when they can touch you and you can feel them.
Right, definitely.
So we've got both.
How many ghosts or active spirits that are intelligent have the psychics that you've brought in there, how many do they feel reside in all of your buildings?
At best right now, I can just say probably around 800.
Wow.
That's
800 active intelligent
active
spirits.
Yep. And I've gotten figures a little under that and a little over that from probably 15 to 20 different psychics.
Have you thought of starting to charge rent?
Well, the living people didn't pay their rent.
What's funny is all 800 are from one family.
That's
so
right.
No, and they're from different time periods, too. That's the really odd thing.
You know what I'm curious about then, Lori? Let me ask you this. Are more than one ghost sighted at a time? And if so, are they ever from different time periods?
Yes.
And then do they ever see each other?
Yes, and sometimes they're sighted at the same time and they're not aware of each other either.
Okay.
But sometimes they are. We've got one particular ghost here that after he died, he was very angry. He was murdered by another inmate, they called him then, out in the farm field out back. And the man moved on soon after that, but he stayed because a couple of the children had died in the meantime, and he had known them, and he stayed to take care of them.
Wow.
So we have, you know, that type of thing happening. And then some of them, like, got to know each other after the fact, and they weren't alive in the same time period at all. But it's hard to document that kind of stuff. That is not the scientific end of it. That's the psychic end of it.
Well, I've got a question in here from Anthony in the room, too, and he wants to know, have there ever been any type of negative interactions, such as psychic or physical attacks?
Yes.
That's it. Yes. Move on. Next question.
It doesn't happen very often, but it's.
Hey, man,
happens.
If you're going to, you know, a couple people are going to die doing ghost investigations every year. It's a dangerous sport. You got to understand that, right?
You do. But we've actually, I think the worst that's actually happened physically is people have gotten cut from falling and while being pushed.
Okay.
Nobody's ever been injured bad enough to die. That's not it. My daughter got punched in the back one time.
Oh, sure, Lori. I'm a father. I understand. Ooh, the ghosts did it, honey.
She was with my best friend on a teen hunt and came down, and Susie brought her right to me, and we lifted up her back, and there was a big red mark on her back. But she's right back at it again.
Well, that's kind of my point, though. Nobody's ever, I think Steve Gonzalez mentioned, out of all of the years of ghost hunting, there's only been one death attributed to a real ghost hunt, and that was somebody that just had a heart attack.
Yeah, I think that would be the thing that would happen more than anything.
Yeah, that or people that are in a place that's maybe not, you know, old abandoned homes and stuff like that, and are places they shouldn't be in, maybe fall through the floor or do something. That's probably the death. You know, there's no chance that it was the spirit of old man Munson shoving you through the woodwork. So
I agree. We've been doing this for almost 3 years. It'll be 3 years in September that we've done this with the public being able to come in. We don't do it every weekend. We don't have public ghost hunts every weekend.
Sure.
And sometimes we have two a weekend. So, but it averages out to be approximately each weekend and approximately 50 people. So with all the people we've had in here, I think we've been pretty lucky, but we don't have places where they can fall through the floor either, that type of thing. We, you know, watch those types of things and try to get rid of any dangerous, you know, physically dangerous tripping over downstairs,
sure,
things like that.
They want to know, do you have a floor or a spot in there that's known for having the, you know, being a smelly ghost area?
The stinky room.
Yes.
Somebody's heard of that.
The stinky room?
Yeah.
My kids stay away from the stinky room at my house, so.
Ours is odd. It's on the second floor in the infirmary in the west wing, and most of the time it just smells bad. Sometimes it smells absolutely horrid. You cannot take it, and it goes right out into the hallway. Other times, you can come back 20 minutes later, and instead of that horrid smell, it can smell like baby powder or raspberries, rose water.
Plug it,
I mean,
in,
it's just,
plug
it smells,
in,
you know, all the time. Yeah, it's really weird. We haven't figured out why yet, but.
Wow, that is, so you get some, now have you had anybody go up there on those foul-smelling days? Have they, you know, usually that's considered to be a negative or a demonic entity. Have you ever had anybody tell you that there's a chance that that could be lurking around as well?
I've had three different demonologists through, and they didn't find anything. I had one particular paranormal investigator who happens to also be a homicide detective, and when he went up there the first time, he said it definitely smelled like rotting flesh, unattended dead bodies, which could be maybe a residual that could actually have happened, you know, in a place like this, where they didn't get to them right away. But then he ended up coming back about an hour later, and they smelled apples. So I don't get it. You know, I don't know. I have no idea what it could be.
Demons like apples, too. Okay, Lord.
No.
Demons like
but
apples,
I really,
too.
I don't think that there's anything demonic here. But things can come in when you don't know it. It might not have been then, and it is now. But I really haven't seen any evidence of it at all, or haven't even gotten any feelings, or anybody else has gotten any feelings about it. We do have grumpy old men.
Okay.
They're not demonic.
So that's where Walter Matthau
like
and Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau are haunting
Rolling
Hills. That's what
I say. They're
that's
the
awesome
ones up in the Oregon room.
I think of that. I've got a question here from Tink, and I'm sure it's probably like any paranormal spot. I mean, is it pretty hit or miss there when people come investigating, or do people usually walk away with some type of evidence?
Every place is always hit or miss, but we've been really lucky. We haven't had a ghost hunt yet that we haven't gotten at least 15 EVPs, and that would be on a public hunt with maybe 50 people,
mm-hmm,
40 to 50 people.
When you have that many people ghost hunting, aren't you afraid that maybe it's more tainted?
It is definitely more tainted, uh-huh, definitely more. And we've had times when it's just been just a couple of people in just that group where we have the better evidence. I would just say better evidence. But the building's quite large, and the EVPs that I'm speaking of, there's so many that actually come down, and we have to discount most of them because there's so many people in the building. But the ones that we do count that
like
we get
children's
are,
voices when there's
yeah,
no children present, or
children singing. We had one that was actually on one of our public tours, very, very close to the microphone, right next to myself and another tour guide as we were speaking. Definitely a child's voice saying, and I had just gone through saying some of the ghosts don't know that they're dead. And there was a little child's voice, probably a boy's voice, saying, I know I'm not dead, or, no, I know I'm dead. And another woman's voice saying, hush, they'll hear you. And it was right there, and the rest of the group was totally silent, listening to myself and Don talk. We didn't hear any of that in real life, you know, in real time. So that's the type of EVPs we could count on a public tour.
Okay. Now, have you, like you were saying, now, so these buildings, I mean, there were quite a few built throughout the years, and it was used for just about every different possibility. Now, did you say it wasn't originally named Rolling Hills?
No. Well, originally, it was the County Poorhouse. They kind of then called it the Alms House, and then it was the Genesee County Nursing Home. It stayed empty from 1974. The last residents were pulled out, moved to the new place. Somebody had bought it by the name of Cecil Speakman, tried to turn it into apartments for the elderly, worked here for years, never did it, never completed it at all. He died here. He was the last person to die here. He had a heart attack. And then the Bodeckers purchased it in 1991 and opened it as Carriage Village. And when I bought it, that's what it was called. 10 years later, in 2002, or 11 years, it was called Carriage Village, and then in early 2003, I changed the name to Rolling Hills Country Mall. And then I closed the mall portion of it down this past April.
All right. Now let's talk a little bit, we'll go into what you're going to be doing next weekend here in a minute, but I want to, when we come back from the next break, but I want to know a little bit more about the different hauntings there. You said that they've sensed over 800 different intelligent interactive entities,
yes,
that hang out in all of the buildings, right?
Yes.
Now, do any of the spirits jump from building to building? Will
yes,
little Sally be in building A and then be over in the building C a week
there's
later?
There's some of them that do that, and they're also out at the park behind us. We've investigated also the park behind us, and they've run into people that we've run into in the building. At least they say they are, with mm-hmm, the divining rods, the best you can gather. Obviously, there's no scientific evidence for it, though.
Well, can I ask you, this is probably a loaded question here, and I'm certainly not trying to put you on the spot, but I'm just curious because this is a question we face a lot doing the paranormal events that we host. Do you ever end up feeling like you're exploiting the spirits that are maybe trapped there by offering up events and doing that? Or have you gone through and tried to, you know, have clearings? Are these spirits staying on their own accord, do you feel?
It's a good question, because in the beginning I did feel that way. We had definitely have had people here that have crossed over, literally hundreds already. And any time that we come across anything that we feel that we can help, we do. We have enough here. It's not going to end our ghost hunts. It's not like, you know, oh, if you send them over, you won't have a business anymore. No,
right,
it's not like that. But I have to live with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to know that I have to help as many people as I possibly can. Maybe I can't personally, but I know people who can help them, and I know who to call, and I do. There are a lot of them here that will not go, no way, shape, or form. And that's fine. If they want to be here, they say, this is home, we're not going, that's fine. Those that do, I'll help them any way they possibly can. So I no longer have any of those guilt feelings.
All right, good. Yeah, I'm
so,
just curious, because
yeah,
I've been waiting in this litigious state. I'm waiting for somebody to create the coalition of exploitation of deceased spirits. And you know,
well, they won't find it here. And if they want to come and help them, they're very welcome to.
That's awesome. I mean, that's what I was curious about is, I mean, how do you feel about that? You said that you've had quite a few, hundreds cross over.
Hundreds, yep.
How do you, have you ever been a party of that?
Yeah.
Crossing over? And how do you know that it's crossed over? What?
Well,
explain to us,
know,
the sensation or what's going on.
I don't know personally, because I'm not a psychic. I have actually worked on my abilities, but I'm not a psychic, so I really don't know personally.
So it's not like the movie, there's not like angelic songs and a whoosh of wind and a white light cascading through the room. Okay.
For others that were there that were actually doing it, yes, and they requested my presence because they said it would help us being the owner, that I was helping and they're going with my blessings type of a thing, that I wasn't holding them at all, and so I've been present, you know, with thoughts in my head of, yeah, go, you know what I mean, do what you need to do,
right.
But...
And for the people
really
in the chat room,
I really don't have any proof at all.
Let me mention real quickly, for the people in the chat room, if you're popping questions, it's scrolling by pretty quick in the chat room. So if I missed your question, just PM me with it, and then I'll try to make sure that we ask it of Lori as we're going along. But it's Tim's giving me the nod. It's the time in the show to take our second break.
Okay.
So we're going to take our second break, and then we'll come back, talk a little bit more about the hauntings, some more of the stuff, and then talk about what people can do that they can help Rolling Hills. Thank you for tuning into the show. We're going to be back right after this.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I gotta pay.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit supernaturalnews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
When Dave was a young boy, he once awoke to find himself staring directly into the eyes of a shadow person. Turns out it was just his life-size cardboard cutout of Donny Osmond.
Go away, little girl. Go away, little girl.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
People laugh at him, but they don't realize how frightening Donny Osmond is in the dark.
He's just plain scurry.
Yeah, especially when he wants to spoon. It's just not right.
Huh?
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, my affable and friendly little buddy, Mr. Timothy Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
Hello, folks.
As I mentioned this evening, we are talking to Lori Carlson, owner of Rolling Hills in upstate New York. It's a haunted location, and we are working on doing a live event there. We're going to try to aim for in October. So I hope that a lot of you will come out there. I'm watching in the chat room. A lot of you are excited about the idea. I hope that you will join us there and help save this lovely place. We're going to go back and talk to Lori right now, find out a little bit more about some of the hauntings, and then we're going to talk about what you can do to help with Rolling Hills. So now, all the years that you've been investigating there, have you ever really just been afraid to be there?
There's been a couple of nights, yeah. When you walk in the building, you can feel. Some nights it's comfortable and some nights it's not. And some nights I just have to turn around and walk out. And there's different floors. And it would be totally fine on one floor, and you start to take the stairs to another, and you just stop dead in your tracks and turn around. You just know not to go up there that night. You know what I mean?
Right.
And there's definitely better nights than others for paranormal activity. Some nights are just, I don't know what it is, but the places just happen, and other nights it's kind of, well, not to use the word, but kind of dead in there, you know, as far as activity goes. But we hope for the active nights, obviously, when people come in, because we want them to get what we get. We want them to experience what we experience. So we really hope that it is. And we've had some great ghost hunts that have been very fruitful in, you know, scientific activity as well as personal experiences. And then we've had some that were just so-so or not a really great night. But thank God there's more active nights than non,
no
especially
doubt.
Lately. I don't know what it is. Lately, it's just been happening.
What can you tell us about Rolling Hills? I mean, first of all, I know that like I said, that you guys are under a little bit of a financial restriction right now.
Yeah.
And there's a chance of you losing Rolling Hills, and if you lose it, it's going to be demolished, you were saying, correct?
Well, there's somebody that's purportedly interested in buying it the instant we lose it, and his plans are to take the building down. So definitely he's not into the paranormal and thinks it's a bunch of whatever. I won't even go there, but I don't want that happening. Even if it's not me that owns it, I want it to keep going with what we're doing here, the work that we're doing here. And if I own it, it's staying Rolling Hills Ghost Hunts, Rolling Hills Paranormal Research Center. If someone else buys it, I don't know what's going to happen. And if this person gets it, it will for sure be torn down. So I'm doing everything I can to hang on to it. We got into a bit of a problem this past year. 2007 hasn't been good for us financially.
Okay. So what's going on there? Now, I know that you guys have a benefit dinner with Steve Gonsalves from the TV show Ghost Hunters.
Yes.
And that's going to be held in September in Batavia, New York.
Right.
And for VIP ticket holders only. Is that for the VIP ticket for the people that are coming to this event next weekend?
No. Anybody can purchase the ticket.
Okay.
It's a VIP dinner for those who purchase their tickets. They're the VIPs.
Oh, okay, great.
Tickets are on sale now, and it will help us right now. And the dinner will be in September on the 12th.
Okay.
And
all the girls are allowed to kiss Steve at least once. Is that right?
Well, that will be up to Steve.
Oh, sure. Come on now. You got to use the man. So you're going to have the VIP dinner with Steve, and that'll take place in September. There's also, you can get autographed photo prints of Lisa Dualaby of Divas of Darkness and Near Paranormal.
Right.
And also, you've seen her on episodes of Ghost Hunters. She's got autographed pictures that people can purchase there on the site, correct?
Yes, and Lisa's been a guest here. Her and Steve both had come last December and conducted two nights of ghost hunting here at Rolling Hills.
Sure.
And we've all gotten to be really close. I'm looking forward to her coming back at some point.
Great.
And she has been kind enough to mail me the autographed photographs and to put them up on the site to help out with our financial difficulties.
Well, we're going to see what we can do to help you out as well with that. As I mentioned,
that
we're
going
to be trying
great.
To bring out a live event out there and then do another live charity auction. I also have a couple other things in the works that I don't want to talk to you about yet until I know that I've definitely got it handled. And then if we do, we're going to be trying to help you out a little bit sooner than later.
That would be great.
Let's talk then. What's coming up here on July 14th?
July 14th.
Is that the Paranormal The Gathering?
No. A group of citizens got together and wanted to try to help us, so they've rented a room out at the Days Inn in Batavia. The doors open at 4 p.m. It's $12 to get in, and they'll be having live bands playing. There'll be a silent auction with a lot of great merchandise. And we are accepting donations, direct donations at that time. There's talk that a Buffalo area cruise club will be there in the parking lot area also, so there should be some pretty cool cars out there. So that's what we're doing, and then we're just trying to raise up enough money to stop this immediately that's taking place now, and then go from there. We've closed the mall up, and that's going to take care of most of our expenses. We just need to catch up, and once we've caught up with where we're behind, where we can lose the place, we should be okay, and we should break even from here on out. That's all we're asking for, just
now,
to be able to pay our bills.
What about the people all over the United States and all over the world that tune into our show and listen to it live and listen to it on the website? What can we do to help you now? Can people send in donations? And who do they write checks out to? Do you accept credit card donations?
Yeah.
Firstborn children? What can people do to get you going and get this thing saved? Because you said you need to raise about how much? $10,000-$12,000 to stop the immediate trouble?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll see what we can do to help you with that. But what can people do now if they want to help? And ladies and gentlemen, you've been a part of the paranormal field. You love the paranormal. It's because of places like Rolling Hills and preserving these amazing spots. It gives us a chance to go there as paranormal investigators and have the opportunity to investigate and find out the answers that we're all seeking. This is an opportunity for you to give back to the field that keeps giving to you. You can go and help donate money so that Lori can save Rolling Hills for this year, keep it available for you to investigate and get you out there. What can people do, and how do they contact you to make donations?
Probably the best place to go if you're out of the area would be to our website, and that's rollinghills-ghosthunt.com. I'm ready to give my email address.
Okay.
the dash is a minus sign on your keyboard. And scroll down a little bit under the Dinner with Steve, where you can help by getting tickets if you'd like to the Dinner with Steve, if you can make it up to Batavia in September. You can also scroll down to the Save Rolling Hills section, and it's How Can I Help is the link, and it will tell you the different ways you can. It'll show you the address if you want to mail a check-in, who to make it out to. And we also did put, they talked me into it, but we put up, I have a shopping cart for reservations for the ghost hunts, so we also put up donations there, and we have a wall of donors program, and the wall will be put up at Rolling Hills and will stay there forever, and there's different levels. Some of the larger donations, 200 and above, you get perks with it, up to unlimited ghost hunts or discounts off of ghost hunts. That's another way they can help, too, is sign up for a ghost hunt.
Well, I would like to donate from Darkness Radio. I would like to donate Tim. You can sell him in a silent auction. Just make sure
that
when people
cool.
return him, he's dusted off and ready to work again. I do have, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to send out for you, I have a Darkness Radio t-shirt signed by Jason, Grant, Steve, I think Brian Hunwa from Ghost Hunters, Donna LaCroix, Tim and I, and a couple other, Mike Dion and a couple other speakers. I'll send out a t-shirt for you to offer up during the silent auction, so hopefully that helps.
That would be fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, and then I've got a couple other cool autographs I'll donate out for you as well, and then we'll see if, like I said, a couple irons in the fire we have going and see if we can't help help raise some cash for you. And it's a good feeling, people. I mean, people that were taking part in the auction at Eastern State, they were fantastic. You know, it was so much fun to be a part of that and watch people really, you know, get into the giving spirit. And this is a great opportunity for you to do the same thing. Suddenly we have telethon mode here. Let me get serious with you people. I'm going to embarrass this woman. She's a great woman. She's here.
I would like to say, though, I've always found that the people in the paranormal field were great. They've been friendly. We've made friends all across the country. And when we were in our time of need right now, I can't believe how the people have come through for me and for Rolling Hills. And it just really blows my mind how great people have been. This has been fantastic. I want to thank everybody.
Well, you know, it is important. Like I said, you know, I want to thank you for realizing what you had there with, you know, a paranormal venue and making it available to people. As we've learned, there are so many awesome places out there that we just can't get access to investigate.
I know.
People refuse to let people in. Tim and I have joked around, you know, when you, what kind of jackass goes out and buys the Amityville Horror House and then gets mad at people because they want to come see the Amityville Horror House? You know, what kind of surprise is that? You bought a well-known haunted location, and why would you be upset if people want to, you know, there's another house a couple blocks away. I'm sure you could have gotten them for a deal, too. So it's just great that there are people like you out there, and our friend Tina and Charlie Mattingly from Waverly Hills, and the guy, you know, people of good state Pennsylvania running the Eastern State Penitentiary that are keeping it open and see the important value of ghost hunts in the paranormal community. So you know, it's a great job you're doing for it and keeping it open as well. And anything that we can do, don't feel, you know, hesitant to ask. Now, you're going to be out at UNIFCON as well as
oh, definitely.
Correct?
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
And UNIFCON, for those of you that aren't familiar, you got to go check it out. You can go to PennStatePRS.com. That's PennStatePRS.com. And UNIFCON 6 is out. It's called The Greatest Show on Earth. This is going to be amazing. They've got Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence, Chris Fleming from Dead Famous, Lorraine Warren, who was on one of the first paranormal investigators in the Amityville Horror case, John Keel, ufologist, Lloyd Auerbach is scheduled to be there. The Ghost Hunters, Jason and Grant, are going to be there. I'll be out there. Come on out, shake hands, say hi to everybody, and have a great time. But that's a fun time, and this is it's getting bigger every year. Can you believe how, I don't know, I know I met you there last year. Had you been there the year before, Lori?
I was there in 2006.
Okay.
Part of our group was there in 2005, but my first year was last year.
Yeah, it just keeps growing by leaps and bounds.
So that's why I met you, Dave.
Yep, yeah, I know, that's what I'm
but
saying.
But there were so many, you probably didn't remember.
Oh, of course I do. I watch Ghost Hunters. You're on Ghost Hunters. You're a celebrity to me. I was intimidated
and
to come ask for your autograph.
To me.
Oh, stop. Aw, come on.
It's a love fest.
I know, it's a beautiful thing. But, Lori, if people are interested, again, the link, and I'm going to put that up in our chat room again right now for people, is www.rollinghills-ghosthunt.com, and they can find out how they can come do live ghost hunts with you and to be a part of that, correct?
Yes, they can.
And also how to donate money and how to be a part of the event that you have coming up on the 14th, and I hope a lot of you that live out in the East Coast area will go check this out. It's going to be a great time. You're going to have an amazing setup up there. And, you know, again, feel free to reach out to Tim and I if there's anything we can do for you from Darkness Radio.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Now, before we head out of here, We've got about a minute left. Can you tell me, we always like to leave people with the last thought. What is the scariest thing that's happened to anybody that's been out there for you?
Wow. There's so many. The scariest thing. I think it's the first time that a person spots the apparitions, the shadow people on the second floor. That seems to have been the scariest thing for a lot of people, and they've come running down to tell me about it, heart thumping, and it happens usually once a ghost hunt, if not more. But I think to them, that's the absolute scariest that happens. When they first spot that, it's just awesome to them, and they're shaking.
Awesome.
They're shaking.
Well, I'm looking forward to coming out there and meeting you and being a part of a ghost hunt out there. Tim and I are excited about getting a chance to check out yet another legendary place in the ghost hunting field.
Oh, you are so welcome to come.
So we will be out there, and I want to thank all of you for tuning in and joining us live in the chat room this evening. I see you brought a bunch of your friends with you, and I appreciate that, having them join us in the chat room this evening. I hope you'll all stick with us for the second hour. When our author, not our author, we don't own him, at least not yet, but author Jeff Dwyer is going to be joining us, talking to us about the ghosts of California, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. So stay tuned, stick with us, and thank you for tuning in to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We'll be back with more in hour two right after this.